Go ahead.
We'll call the Community Development Committee meeting to order. This is Rick Vagerly.
Sean Meske.
Kathy Schwantes.
Vicki Davis.
Sarah Swetberg.
And we have Gabe Olson.
Yes.
Julie Osmus. And Shelby from the Tribune. All right. Item number two, public comment. I don't believe there's anyone here to speak. Item three, meeting time change. Ms. Sarah.
Yes. So with the anticipation of the new planning and development director beginning on Monday, Sam and I both agreed that we would bring this request to both the community development and the labor committee meetings to discuss switching the two around so that community development would consistently meet at 5:15 instead of 6:15 because the new director will be commuting. Mm-hmm. And so out of respect for his time, we wanted to bring that change forward. And we thought we'd put it through both just so everyone is on the same page with that request. Works for me.
Comments? Sean?
Well, the only thing I would say is Fernando's not here. I don't know what his availability is, but...
For sure. And it will be at the Labor Committee
he's
next.
He's gone, right?
Right, he won't be at the Labor Committee either.
I see.
He's not there.
Six.
I had to pass it on him. He didn't want everybody to know, but...
Got it.
So, I mean, I would assume... that it would work, but I don't know his schedule if he has something that goes on after our meeting. Because he's not part of this committee.
Right.
Kathy?
I have no problem with that change.
Vicki?
I'm good with it because I'm at both.
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
So bring it to labor and let
bring
them
it to labor and it'll go to council too, obviously. That'll
sure.
be
yep.
where the
no
formal
there.
Change makes. Okay.
So the Monday still.
The Monday, works. Yep, Monday would still stay the same. We would just flip-flop the two.
Okay. Item four, removal of a planning commission member.
Okay, so this item, there will be no action on it right now. My hope is that we will receive a formal resignation letter from this particular member. Life has just changed for this particular planning commission member, and he is no longer able to make our meetings at the time that we have them set at, and unfortunately that is not a changeable time just because of how many people we have on that commission. So it has come forward to me from the Planning Commission chair, just at the request that we look at replacing that particular person. At this time, we have communicated to him that formal letter would be the smoothest way of going about it rather than having to pass a formal resolution through the council and hold a public hearing and do all of that jazz. There's no hard feelings. There's, you know, life just changes sometimes and we completely understand that. So we're just hoping to receive that. We were thinking that we would have to put it through the formal channels regardless, but if we can get that letter, that's going to be our first option. So we might see this again, we might not. In hopes that we can just get that person replaced so that we have a full commission because of how frequently they meet and make decisions on things. It's good to have that full participation capacity.
So the member is aware?
The member is aware.
Of it.
Yep.
So
we're just waiting for the letter to come from him.
Okay.
Yes.
What is the process? The removal process, I mean, there's a removal process outlined in charter.
Yep.
Does that involve this committee?
It does. It involves the Planning Commission.
Commission.
Oh, for the actual removal process. If we did have to go down that avenue, yeah, this committee would review it. You would see the formal resolution, and then it would go to council for a full council vote. I think it has to be like a 6-8 majority, or a 6-vote majority to actually approve that resolution and remove that member.
I'm curious, though. I thought the removal of a committee member has rules attached to them. It usually has something to do with malfeasance or some other thing.
Yeah, the charter... Actually, I could pull up...
Isn't there something about how many times they've missed?
Yeah, they have to miss at least 3 times in a row. this person has well exceeded that.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so he definitely, for lack of a better term, qualifies to be removed per charter standards. We just need to actually
You always prefer the letter of resignation, of
yes,
course. I just
want
to make sure, if you're not going to follow that, which I hope we don't have to do that, that we do follow the letter of the charter.
For sure, yep, yeah. And it definitely, at this point,
okay,
it's time.
Well, you could send it to labor.
No, we've got plenty there, thanks.
So we'll wait and see.
So we'll wait and see. You might see that again. I'm hoping that we see that letter this week and we can
another
just...
Another week, then.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah. It would be another 2 weeks, but...
Okay.
That particular person.
All right.
All right.
Item 5, introduction of a tax abatement for AEHM LLC.
All right. So we saw this tax abatement request last month. And that was the preliminary. We hadn't received all of the financial documentation and everything, and so at this point we have received all of that. The city did work with Ehlers to conduct a cash flow analysis, which has also been included in the packet, and we received that pro forma from Gabe at AEHM, who is also here to speak, and he can answer questions. Just as a refreshment, this is what was previously called the Sunwood Apartments complex, which is up in the northeast corner of College View. So it's these three parcels here. This particular abatement would be for a new development of a 24-unit complex on the southern end of that lot. These other two, the other two lots have 12 units on them each. There was a PUD passed by Planning Commission back in the 70s for 3 12-unit buildings. That third building was never built, and that lot stayed vacant. Back in earlier 2019, late 2018, AEHM was approved a change to that PUD to allow that 24 unit, so it is within Planning Commission and zoning ordinance standards for that 24 units to go in there. At that time, there were some concerns about traffic and property values and property upkeep that the committee, the Planning Commission, listened to fully, and Mr. Olson assured that those needs would be taken care of, as well as improvements that are currently underway at the other two 12-unit complexes on this particular site. So the request is for a tax abatement for 10 years of 90%. After doing the analysis and working with the county, the way tax abatement works is that each taxing jurisdiction is separate. So we are only responsible for looking at and approving the abatement of our portion of the taxes. After this complex or this new addition would be built, which is estimated at market value from the county at about $2 million, taxes from the city would be about $8,000 a year, a little over $8,000 a year, for a total of $87,000 over 10 years, which would be that 90% rate. The county is responsible for a little over 13% or $13,000 in taxes a year after that development would occur, and the school board is responsible for about, what would that be, a little over $5,000 a year. But like I said, this request is only for the city's portion of the taxes, so the county and the school board would both have to be approached separately for that request, and they would have the option to opt in or opt out of that abatement at that time.
So what's our rules on abatement in the city? Do they have to create some jobs then?
Generally, that if there's kind of two ways to go about it. You can go about it in the jobs and the job creation standpoint. Because this is housing, we fit under the eligible uses of the tax abatement policy, which would be item 301B. And we discussed this last time a little bit too. So it meets the housing related needs. And it just has to meet one of them. But the four in the policy is to provide diversity of housing, not currently provided, to provide a variety of housing ownership alternatives and housing choices, to promote affordable housing, for low or moderate income individuals, or to promote and/or to promote neighborhood stabilization and revitalization by the removal of blight and upgrading of existing housing stock in residential areas. Because we're going in that housing direction, that business subsidy policy kind of becomes null and void in this instance.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think traditionally, and this is maybe speaks to some of Rick's question, is as long as I can remember, we've always used the other criteria. I mean, we did bring this up last time we talked about it.
Yep.
Wilmer traditionally does a job creation as sort of the threshold.
Absolutely.
A lot of the housing projects of late, we've done TIF districts.
Yep.
Why not here?
Honestly, because that's not what was requested. It was the tax abatement that was requested.
Usually a TIF
we have
bigger land for more properties to be developed. And
yeah.
This
and
is
that,
landlocked now.
That would definitely be a portion of it as well. There's also, what was my thought? There is one other example, and we talked about this last time too, that the trailer park just south of Midwest Technology Campus did receive tax abatement. So that is the one other example of tax abatement that did deal with the housing. They did the tax abatement rather than the TIF district. But I would echo Rick's thought that because of the nature and the location of this particular site, though you could look at a TIF district that, you know, maybe encompassed some area for college housing or something like that as well.
Precisely is where my brain was going on that too. And I'm thinking we just did a TIF district for a housing development blocked off on County Road 5 as well. So in the conversations the council has had about these things in the very recent past, there's always seemed to be this dichotomy of, okay, well, if it's going to be an investment type of a thing that's creating jobs, they've entertained more of the abatement. And if it's more of a housing development, then it's just...
It's either right or wrong.
It qualifies. Yeah. I get that.
Yep.
I'm just... I don't know what the appetite of the council will be for that.
Yep.
Because I know the history has been that, but there's nothing... I understand it as an eligible property.
Yep.
Kathy?
So my thought is, it is a tool in our toolbox, and I would hate to pull the rug out from underneath someone who counted on what we've had on our books to be taken away when they're at this point. It feels a little bit like we might have felt when the state legislature wanted to change the local option sales tax in the middle of the ball game. If it's a rule that a tool we do not plan on using, then we should remove it so we don't put our contractors, the builders, the developers through this kind of a process. So it's a tool that we have. We need additional housing. I know we've got a lot of projects going on, but we still need the housing. I think they've done a really nice job of cleaning up that property and have invested money in the apartments at the, what direction is it, north end of the development. And I personally really like the idea that we're doing a project with a local existing developer. They're the ones that have been paying taxes all this time. Their residents, their tenants have been shopping in our stores, they've been eating in our restaurants, they've been sending their kids to our schools. So I would like to, I would be in favor of this.
So will there have to be a public hearing?
Yeah, so on that note, I would it would be recommendation to go ahead and introduce it to council for public hearing, and then at that point we could definitely flesh out more of it. Not that we shouldn't have that conversation right now as well. I think it is due to be here, but it would be procedure, I would say, to introduce it regardless of where everyone kind of feels like they're lying at the end of this conversation today.
So, okay, so they don't have to rezone it?
No. Nope, it was, yeah, that...
It was done years ago.
That part has all been taken care of, and the amendment to the PUD for the 24 units has all been approved by Planning Commission. All of that has been done.
Yeah, because I'm sure there'll be some neighbors coming.
Yep.
So...
Yep, and they did come to Planning Commission as well, but...
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Sean?
Don't confuse my comments for being against a project, because they're not.
Yeah.
I want it to be successful in whatever it takes to make it go through. Because it is in the toolkit, but there are other things in the toolkit that I have seen traditionally being used that would make the project go. So I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, putting cold water on the project. I think it should go, and for all the reasons you said. But this is in the toolkit, and I'm not asking you to change it. I'm just saying, I know what I have seen in the past, and if past is an indicator, and they both are in the toolkit, and they both get to the same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's just, how do you want to pick it?
Yep.
So.
Mr. Olson, do you have anything to say?
I really appreciate your comments. I think they're all very valid. I would say with the TIF district versus the abatement, we requested the abatement simply for the reason that you gave, because of the unique layout of this property, and with the existing ones in place, it seemed to fit a little bit better within the realm of, or seemed to be the right tool for the job, as you put it. So I really appreciate your comment about working with local people. We're working hard to invest in the community, and we are obviously here to partner with you guys. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
So do you need 10 years for sure?
That's the goal. On your cash flow analysis, the goal is to get to refi, to pay down the principal, to allow it to flow without the basement, or without the abatement. And that's kind of where the numbers crossed on the graphs and made it work. So that's why we submitted what we submitted.
And this will be market rent, or will Section 8 or market rent?
Yep. Market rate housing is what we're doing.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to note, I think it would be not necessarily unique, but perhaps unique in the amount of 3-bedroom units that you are proposing for this particular complex.
You bet.
And I think that's something that you like to talk about a lot too.
Yep. So our whole deal is we want to provide housing for affordable housing, which means not subsidized necessarily, but people can actually afford the rents for workforce housing, and that means families. That means people with jobs who have people they support, and usually they're living together, and that requires bigger units. So one of the huge demands that we see in Wilmer is larger units, and specifically units with more than one bedroom. And so our quest here was, how could we do that, and how could our first stab at this come to play? So this we have designed where it's all 3 bedrooms except one, which is a 2-bedroom, because all the fun things of code and all that. So we're really excited about that. My guess is we will have this completely full before it's done being constructed, and it'll happen very quickly. We have a large waiting list for those size of units, so that excites us. We want to see families in there. We want to see kids out in the playground, and we want to build this community around families.
So you are putting play apparatus on your property?
Yep, so it's just to the...
I did include the updated one that shows
east,
the park in there.
Maybe east of the new build somewhere.
Because there's a park, a couple blocks away, but...
Right.
Some of your tenants might be going through backyards.
Yeah, wouldn't that be? Yeah, just east of.
That'd be good.
So this is the units, and then this little square right there would be the play area.
Do you have to do anything special for ponding? And?
The area, kind of this area south of here is noted for stormwater.
Did it have a holding pond then, or...?
I haven't fully looked at the plans. I don't know if they're that. It does say stormwater retention. I would think that there's probably going to be some sort of on-site
infiltration basin type thing. And
yeah.
The previous, when we did the PUD, they also requested or made a part of this is we have to have a fence around the backside of it from the neighbors so their kids can't cut across, or they were very concerned about garbage at our first meeting, so that can go over the property line as well.
No, I think it'd be good to get more customers on utilities for sewer and water. Any other question?
Is there just the one driveway, right? And that's okay?
Yep.
And that, yeah, it's shared with the other two buildings.
Yeah,
it's
shared with the other two right there.
Are these individually metered units, or is it for the whole building?
Electric would be individually metered.
It would?
Yep.
Okay.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Oh, you need a motion?
Oh, did you make that?
No. Sure, it was a motion.
I thought it was.
I'd second the imaginary motion.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries, it'll go to the council.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
You guys have done good work so far.
Thank you.
Properties look good.
Maintained. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yep.
All right, any other items?
I think that's it.
Move to adjourn?
I guess so.
Okay.
Your labor?